Father God, thank you so much that we get to meet together today and we get to sit under your word. We get to learn from the Bible. Father, please be with us now. Help us to understand Luke 4 and help us to be amazed by Jesus. Amen. Now, what you want says an awful lot about you. I want you to imagine waking up one day. You know that downstairs there is an entire chocolate cake. You know it's there. You've been looking forward to having some. But as you get downstairs, all you discover is that the chocolate cake has been reduced to a slither. Overnight, a whole chocolate cake down to one slither. And worse than that, you can see your brother or sister sat there with chocolate all over their face. And you say, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And they reply, because I wanted to. Well, that tells you an awful lot about them, doesn't it? They're greedy, they're chocolate loving, and they're a little bit selfish. Or maybe a completely different example. I go to Sarah, as I often do, and I say, do you want a cup of tea? And she always responds, yes, I do want a cup of tea. What does that tell you about Sarah, that she always wants tea? Well, it might tell you that she's thirsty. It might tell you that she likes tea. It might tell you that she's feeling a bit stressed and, like all British people, just needs a cup of tea to calm down. What you want says a lot about you. Well, in today's passage, we see Jesus say those three words, I want to. In the Bibles that we normally use in church, it says, I am willing. But in the Bibles we use downstairs at Junior Church, it says, I want to. And they show us exactly who our King is. Jesus was out and about in a town where a very sick man lived. The poor man was covered all over by a hurtful and harmful skin disease. He was physically unwell. But he was also a social outsider. Because he was covered in disease and nobody wanted to catch it, he probably didn't have any friends or family members who were willing to touch him or go near him or spend time with him. Not only was he physically unwell, but he was socially sick. He was an outsider. But when he sees Jesus coming, he bows down and he begs, Lord, heal me. I know you can if you want to. And what does Jesus say? I want to. I want to be healed. Jesus says, I want to, and it tells us an awful lot about him. He's compassionate. He shows sympathy and concern for the sick man. He's understanding and kind towards the outsider. He's compassionate. Other people might have looked at the man and told him to go away, but not compassionate Jesus. Other people might have run away from this man, but not compassionate Jesus. He says, I want to. Jesus is compassionate. And that is good news. We may not all be sick with a skin disease, but to use the language that we'll see later on in chapter 5, we are all sick with sin. We all do and say and think things each and every day which offend God. We all say, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to you and your rules. We are all sick with sin. And yet Jesus looks upon us with compassion. If we come to Jesus bowing and begging like the sick man and cry out to him, Lord, heal me, Lord, forgive me, deal with my sin sickness, rescue me from my rebellion, then we can be confident that Jesus' reply is I want to. Jesus is compassionate. But by itself, compassion isn't enough. See, it's one thing to want to help someone, and it's another thing to actually be able to help them. It's a silly example, but let me show you. This is a photograph that we had up at my wedding. There's me and Sarah. Sarah hasn't changed, but the last decade has been very unkind to Adam. I'm hairier and fatter than I used to be. Our friends, our guests, they wrote notes all around it, and it was nicely framed until we moved to Crowborough, and someone dropped it, and now it's broken. The frame is no more. And the compassionate part of me wanted to fix it. I know Sarah likes the photo, so I wanted to fix it, but the practical, handy, DIY-y part of me had no idea how to fix a frame. So I use clips instead. See, compassion without ability isn't enough. It's not enough to want to fix the frame if you're not able to fix the frame. But more than just compassionate, Jesus is able. Now look at verse 13 again. Jesus said, "I want to be healed." And Jesus touched the man immediately. The disease disappeared. All it took was a touch, and this horrible, harmful, painful skin disease disappeared. The thing that was causing this man to live as an outsider was taken away in an instant with one touch. Jesus touches the untouchable and makes him touchable again. That is amazing. His power to heal the sick man also tells us an awful lot about him. He has authority. He is the boss over sickness. He does things that only God can do. That is also such good news. Our sin sickness means that we do things that offend God. And the only person able to forgive us, therefore, is God. Imagine if I walked to the back of church and I punched Harry in the face. Would Sarah then be able to come up to me and say, "I forgive you"? No. Would Steve, my boss, be able to walk up to me and say, "Adam, I forgive you"? No. The only person who can forgive me for punching Harry is Harry. The only person who can deal with my sin and forgive me is God. Because sin is offending God. So Jesus says with his mouth, "I want to," and then he says with his actions, "I am God and I am able to." It's amazing. But then our passage takes an unexpected turn. Jesus tells this man to be obedient to Old Testament law, to go to the priests and to offer sacrifices. This was meant to be proof to the priest and proof to the people that this man really was healed. And of course, word got round and crowds gathered to hear and be healed. And then we get this remarkable line in verse 16, "But Jesus often slipped away to other places to be alone so that he could pray." You see, Jesus, compassionate and able Jesus, needed his Father. Jesus does this time and time again in Luke's gospel. He withdraws to a quiet place when the crowds gather or trouble arises. See, Jesus is compassionate and able, but he is also dependent on his Father. Grown-ups, it is a remarkable thing that Jesus' public ministry is placed alongside his private prayer life here. It's striking that in these few verses, we get a picture both of how sinners like you and me are forgiven and made right with God through his compassionate and able Son, but also an example of devotion. We get a picture of, of entering God's family through begging his compassionate and able son for help. And then we get an example of the family behavior as his son prays to his father. All too often, this last line in this passage is dismissed as an anomaly or a literary marker or a historical marker, and we miss the picture being painted for us. Being forgiven by Jesus isn't a one and done thing. It is the beginning of a lifetime spent in God's family. Well, so what? How might these five short verses change our lives over the coming week? Well, the first thing to say is that these verses should make us want to cling to Christ. If you don't know Jesus yet, if you don't know this compassionate and able King who is able to deal with your sin, then find out more. Speak to someone after the service. Ask one of the ministers here. We would love to talk to you. But if you are here and you do know Jesus as your King, maybe you've lost sight of this compassionate and able Jesus. And you need to take this opportunity just to realign your sight. See, feelings of guilt may persist, but we need to focus on our compassionate and able King. The King who says, "I want to," when people come to him and ask for forgiveness. But also it should make us persist in prayer. We get this picture of our big brother Jesus praying to his father, the compassionate King, going to his dad and praying. And I wonder how quick we are to do that. You said earlier that it's striking that this public ministry is placed alongside Jesus' private prayer life. The two go hand in hand. How quick are we to depend upon our Father for the things we're engaged with each and every week? So we should take this as an opportunity to cling to our compassionate King and to copy the example of our King and persist in prayer this week. Why don't we bow our heads and pray? Father God, thank you so much that Jesus is compassionate. Thank you that he looks at people, he looks at sinners asking him for help, and he says, "I want to." Thank you that Jesus is able, that he is God, and so he is able to forgive our sins. Father God, please would you help us this week to cling to our compassionate King, and would you help us to persist in prayer to you. Amen.